following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, October 22nd, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And talk about planting a seed and watching it grow. You have reached the fourth Friday of the month, and that means we got a special show today. Coming up on today's show, Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor of High Times Magazine, will be joining us in our chat room and live on the air here, taking your calls at 971-533-7111 or taking your questions through the chat room on marijuana cultivation. Whatever you want to know, we'll get to that at half past the hour. Also coming up on today's show, it's our Rockin' Friday, and Grateful Dread Public Radio is stepping in while we still recruit a new Rockin' Friday editor. Today's song, Demented R Go, and their tune, Marijuana. Also, a radical rant coming up at the end of the show today. I've got to talk a little bit about Medican, the largest medical marijuana referral company in the state of California, coming out and saying to vote no on Prop 19. You can imagine what I've got to say about that. But before we get there, let's go to my good friend and quarter sister in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. Happy Friday, all the stackers.
Happy Friday to you, Carrie. What are your plans for the weekend?
I've actually got a few things going on this weekend. I'm going to a seed exchange, but not marijuana seeds or cannabis seeds, vegetable seeds.
Okay.
And I'm hosting a stasher. I sort of feel like it's a stasher exchange program. I get to host Diva Rats coming this weekend, and I'm going to be doing a little sightseeing with her, no doubt.
Oh, that'd
I love
be fun.
That. How about you, Russ? What are you doing this weekend? Oh, a little bit of football?
Lots of football this weekend, of course, but also I'm doing a whole bunch of work with Mrs. Radical. We've got to get commercials recorded and promotional stuff made for the clinic. So, yeah, going to be a busy weekend for me, and I imagine for you. Well, Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break of the show. What do we have in the news today?
Well, today, since it's Friday, we've got a couple of updates. I wanted to update some people on a Michigan story that we have been covering. I've got a Mark Emery update. You'll be happy to hear about that. We're going to look at Prop 203 down in Arizona. And I don't even know if I want to say this is a stupid stoner story because it will mean you're going to play that intro. But I got a kind of a dumb story. So that'll be a good Friday story to round the day out.
All right. Great stuff coming up here on Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the marijuana nation. Check us out on Twitter at Radical. Russ, Cannabis Carrie is at Cannabis Carrie, K-A-R-R-I, and our blog is at stash.normal.org. You can get the latest on these news stories with hyperlinks, videos, and downloads of our tunes. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over.
Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to live.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I approve this message.
California's Prop 19 will legalize marijuana, but Dragonfly De La Luz thinks it's a bad idea.
Prop 19 is bad.
Freeing 2.9 million California cannabis consumers from police attention is bad.
We can already carry one ounce.
If you're willing to pay a $100 fine and deal with the cops.
We are not in a crisis situation regarding cannabis in California.
Tell that to the tens of thousands of California cannabis consumers arrested or ticketed for marijuana.
A vote no so that you refuse to remain a criminal under legalization.
A criminal under legalization? George Orwell would be proud. Dragonfly De La Luz wants you to vote to remain a criminal, accept tickets for your personal marijuana use, and risk felony arrest for growing a single pot plant in your closet. Dragonfly De La Luz. Bad for cannabis consumers, bad for California. Vote yes on Prop 19. Legal marijuana. No tickets. No grow felonies. No doctor's notes.
Paid for by the Committee to Eradicate Annoying Insects.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
More fallout from the coordinated raids that were conducted in Michigan last August 25th by the Oakland County Narcotics Enforcement Team. Back then, three medical marijuana dispensaries in Ferndale and Waterford, Michigan were raided and a dozen people arrested on felony drug and conspiracy charges. Most of those charged were also Michigan medical marijuana card holders. Now, protesters have shown up in support of those charged at all of the various preliminary hearings, and many see these cases coming up as landmark cases that will force Michigan's court system to decide if dispensaries are legal. Michigan voters passed their medical marijuana law back in 2008, but it only addressed caregiver status and not the right to open and operate dispensaries. Now, as lawyers for the defendants are preparing their cases, news has surfaced that the Oakland County Sheriff's Department used phony Michigan medical marijuana cards created on a county computer to trick the state-approved medical marijuana providers into selling the drug to the police. A doorman at the now-closed Everybody's Cafe dispensary in Waterford had initially claimed that he had seen the men that turned out to be police several times before when he denied them entrance. The doorman and one of the dozen people arrested, Brian Vaughn, he says that when they finally came back with medical marijuana cards, that he had no way to check and let them in the door. The medical marijuana cards that were presented to the doorman were near duplicates of the more than 41,000 cards issued to the citizens of Michigan. Defense attorneys say that their clients were trapped into lawbreaking while trying to stay within the law. Oakland County Prosecutor Jessica Cooper contends that using the fake ID cards weren't entrapment because entrapment is a legal defense that applies only in cases where someone is lured into committing an illegal act, and the defendants weren't lured, but instead were, quote, so far outside, it's absurd. Copper cited evidence of the hand-to-hand buys of larger amounts of drugs and a state-approved caregiver, which many of the establishment employees claim to be, could provide medicine only to his or her five registered patients, regardless of whether the cards were real or not. The cases could take years to be settled by the state's highest court or be resolved far more quickly by a Republican landslide in November if Lansing lawmakers subsequently repeal the 12-year-old Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. Excuse me, I meant two-year-old.
Two-year-old, yes, okay. All right, so we got the cops here making almost perfect fake medical marijuana cards to set up a sting. But I don't understand why. Well, I mean, I know why. It's because they don't like marijuana and they want to bust potheads. That's all it is. All that is to it. I mean, they don't respect the will of two out of three Michigan voters that approved the Medical Marijuana Act here. But I mean, think about when you've heard of these stings in the past, or people are, you know, taking fake IDs. When you bust someone in the alcohol business or the tobacco business who takes a fake ID, it's because they're taking it from somebody who's using it illegally, right? They're taking it from a kid or somebody who shouldn't be able to get alcohol or tobacco, and they're using a fake ID. You're not taking it from the cops. I mean, is that what the sting is about? To see whether or not the people working at dispensaries are able to identify a fake ID correctly enough? I don't understand the purpose behind this. And just overall, when we talk about medical marijuana in the United States, and it's so sad in so many of the medical marijuana states here, where the sick and disabled people have said, please, please help us. We need this medicine to survive. We've got to have medical marijuana. And the voters say, okay, you're right. You know, you're sick. You're suffering. There's no reason to extend that suffering. Let's give you medical marijuana. Okay, thank you. Now where can I get it? Oh, I don't know. I guess you'll have to grow it, or I guess you'll have to have someone grow it for you. Isn't that ridiculous that we make something legal but don't provide people with a legal way to access that medicine? This is something everyone needs to look at as you're working on medical marijuana legislation for the future. And I know there's going to be plenty of bills here coming up in the next couple of years for medical marijuana. Make sure you do something about guaranteeing access for patients.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer has come out to support the campaign against medical marijuana, saying that passing Prop 203 would create new public safety risks. Governor Brewer announced her opposition to the initiative on Wednesday at a news conference on the Salt River Reservation in Maricopa County. Brewer has not campaigned for or against any of the other 9 propositions on the November 2nd ballot. The reasons that Governor Brewer stated she was against medical marijuana in her state is that she feels the campaign amounted to a backdoor legalization of marijuana, and warned that dispensaries would overwhelm communities and become magnets for crime. At the conference, she said, quote, I am fearful of the additional societal cost that will occur if voters were to pass this proposition. And, quote, I ask my fellow Arizonans not to be bullied into believing this is about compassion for sick people, unquote. The language within the initiative prevents more than one dispensary opening for every 10 licensed pharmacies in the state, therefore limiting the number of dispensaries within the Arizona borders to 124. Terry Goddard, the Democratic nominee for governor, also opposes Prop 203.
Governor Brewer probably doesn't like marijuana because it's Mexican. No, Governor Brewer, look, there are 14 states now that have medical marijuana programs, and most of them are more liberal medical marijuana programs than what you're about to pass in the state of Arizona. And can you point to us, please, the public risks and the danger and the costs that we're suffering in these other states? Can you? I mean, this is something they always bring up. Oh, we don't want the risks. We don't want the danger. We don't want the trouble that is with medical marijuana. What is that trouble? Can you show it to us? I mean, you keep talking about societal costs, not just you, but all these other opponents, all these societal costs, but nobody ever gives us a number. Nobody ever calculates it in any way. Can you show us what the harm is from medical marijuana? Because I can show you what the benefits are. I can show you people that are cutting down their opioid prescriptions from one half to one third. I can show you the $100 million in sales tax that California has reaped from medical marijuana. I can show you the at least 500,000 people in the United States who are no longer subject to arrest, freeing up police for other more important crimes. I can show you all the benefits of medical marijuana. Why is it that our opponents can never quantify these so-called risks?
And Canadian activist Mark Emery has now been in U.S. custody for 156 days. If you add the time he has been in a Canadian detention center, Mark Emery has now spent almost 30 weeks incarcerated for selling marijuana seeds over the internet over 5 years ago. Mark has been being held in a Seattle detention center for pretrial inmates. Well, we now know that Mark Emery will be shipped out soon to Taft Federal Correction Institute in California, a privately managed federal prison. Emery was hoping to serve his sentence at Lompoc Correctional Institute in California because the inmates there are allowed limited email communication. Where Mark will be incarcerated, he will have no computer access and will be allowed up to 10 minutes a day on phone calls. Email aside, Emery and his wife Jody are happy that Mark will not be spending his time in Texas, Mississippi, or Georgia, some of the other options the judge had been weighing. Once Mark arrives at Taft, he'll be able to submit his application to the U.S. Department of Justice asking for transfer to Canada. The Emerys remain optimistic that Mark will be transferred to Canada before his five-year sentence has run its course. The United States and Canada have an agreement called the International Transfer of Offenders Act, and it requires that prisoners be allowed to serve their time at home if approved by the governments of both countries as not being a threat to national security. They say that Mark's transfer could happen any day, and it is my hope that even though he is incarcerated, it might be a small comfort that he might be inside of California borders on the day of the election to bear witness to the outcome of Prop 19, the effort to legalize cannabis in California.
Yeah, talk about sad ironies that Mark Emery would be imprisoned in California for selling seeds to people to grow marijuana, which on November 2nd will become legal in the state where he's imprisoned. That just shows the absurdity of our American drug policies and our arrogance in reaching across Canadian borders to bust this man. It's such a shame. And it's no surprise to me that they're shipping him off to Taft rather than Lompoc, because they need to make sure that they can keep him down. The whole reason he is being imprisoned has nothing to do with selling marijuana seeds and everything to do with spreading the truth about marijuana, about communicating with millions of people worldwide about the government's lies about marijuana. And a lot of that done through electronic means, through Cannabis Culture's website, through the email networks that he's built up, through the Pot TV videos that are out there on the internet. It's no surprise at all. Free Mark Emery.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Well, I guess this PSA is about knowing who your friends are. A message between old friends who hadn't been in touch for a while led to a drug arrest after the recipient of the text saying, "So, do you smoke weed?" turned out to be a police officer. Officer Amanda Williams, a reserve officer in the town of Early, Texas, received the message about getting together to smoke some marijuana that the man had. She reports that she had not spoken to the man in some time, and he must not have been aware that she had since become a law officer. She agreed to meet him in a park where troopers were on hand to detain the man, who now faces a marijuana possession charge. So sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Kind of stupid. Not real stupid. You're right. That's not like, you know, boneheadedly stupid. That's just kind of not thinking through. Kind of stupid, you know.
We need a poor bastard intro.
Poor bastard intro, yeah. Because, yeah, but it does bring up something that's a good public service announcement here for our community, and that is the internet is permanent. Don't write about, you know, wanting to buy weed or get weed or share weed in an email, in a text message, in instant messaging, in chat, all of that stuff. It can only go bad for you. I mean, I know a lot of people out there that use code words or little, you know, codes or whatever. That, you know, even that can be a little risky if they're trying to build a case against you. Especially if you're in a place like Texas, you just got to be more careful than that. We don't want to see anyone get busted for marijuana. But you got to learn. You got to learn from these stories, and you got to make sure that you don't end up being one of those people. I have been very lucky throughout my career using marijuana that have never had an experience like this. And I know that that's the same for a lot of marijuana consumers. I think part of the problem we have sometimes is the fact that, you know, we talk every year about the arrest statistics that, you know, there's 850,000 people, give or take, that are arrested every year for marijuana. But when you realize that there's 26 million annual marijuana consumers every year, it means that every year your chances of getting an arrest is about 1 out of 30. And so people don't really think it can happen to them. And also there's a lot of other factors that have to do with that. Of course, me being a fairly middle-class white male, I'm not going to experience the scrutiny and the policing that a black or Latino man would experience. So that can have a lot of difference to it as well. The neighborhoods in which you live, the state in which you live can make a big difference here. It's time to just end marijuana prohibition, and we're going to do it on November 2nd in California, Prop 19. 2019 is the first crack in the wall of ignorance. We're bringing this wall down. We are going to end prohibition nationwide. And the very first step is for us to end it in the state, in one of the first states that started it. California started prohibition in 1913. 97 years. It's time to end it. Okay, folks, time to take a break here on the Weekend Daily Tote Cartoon. Coming up next, Danny Danko at the half point of the hour with your grow questions. Stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hey man, why are those people laughing?
They're laughing because they're high.
They're high? Where they all high on?
They're high on THC.
Whoa, wait a minute. I thought THC was illegal. Can you get busted and go to jail for being high on THC?
No, dumbass. THC, the Hydro Comics.
Huh? The Hydro Comics? What are the Hydro Comics?
The Hydro Comics are a group of comedians, musicians, and advocates for the legalization of medical marijuana.
What? Really?
I am not shitting you. Yeah, they're all about passing around love and laughter while spreading awareness about the legalization of medical marijuana and the reform of marijuana laws.
Wow. How do I get high on THC? I mean the Hydro Comics.
All you have to do is go to their next gig and show your support for the legalization of medical marijuana and the reform of marijuana laws.
Oh yeah? I'm down. Where's the Hydro Comics next show?
What am I, their mother? The Hydro Comics Legalized Laughter Tour will be at the Crossroads in Garwood, New Jersey on October 22nd. For more information or ticket sales, call the Crossroads at 908-518-0323. That's 908-518-0323. Or visit them on the web at xxroads.com.
The Hydro Comics are proud to be sponsored by NORML, the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws, and CMMNJ, the Coalition for Medical Marijuana, New Jersey.
Well, man, I just saw the Hydro Comics, and I'm fucking high!
The Hydro Comics do not elicit or approve the use of anything...
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Eric Smokes Bud in Madison, Wisconsin. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey now, one and all. Grateful Dread here from the studios of Grateful Dread Public Radio in Summit, New Jersey. GDPR presents our singular kind music mix and progressive news talk 24 hours a day. Join us at gdreadradio.net for diverse sounds and ideas. Today we're spinning the Rockin' Friday Toker Tune on Normal Show Live. And we're seriously rockin' this week, folks. The rock comes courtesy of Welsh psychobilly band Demented Argo. The group has been a cult indie favorite in the European underground and among in-the-know music fans on this side of the pond for more than a quarter century. The guys boast that they encapsulate everything bad about rock and roll, but they make it sound good, covering everything from 50s grindhouse to acid-soaked 60s garage to drag punk heaven. Get more info on the band and check out its voluminous discography on MySpace and on its website, dementedargo.co.uk. And you can find the group's music on iTunes. Now it's time to crank it up. Today's Rockin' Friday track for Normal Show Live comes from the band's 2003 Fury Records release, Orgasmic Nightmare. The song, Marijuana.
Right, what should we do now then? I'm the marijuana. We are the marijuana. We are the marijuana. We are the marijuana too.
Oh,
Ah, yeah, that's just not enough rock and roll for a Friday. Let's keep it going with the Super Suckers. This is Can Pipe.
Take a hit of the can pipe, honey, baby. Take a hit of the can pipe, man. Take a hit of the can pipe, I'm making. I'm making from an aluminum can. Take a hit of the can pipe, Presidente, because I'm making for free. Safety pin on my shoelace, just in case I run into a friend.
By surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our NORML Show Live's Cultivators Corner.
Welcome back, everybody. At half past the hour, every Friday we visit with, not every Friday, every fourth Friday, excuse me. It'd be nice if it was every Friday, but the man's got a job to do. It's Danny Danko from High Times Magazine. Danny, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks, Russ.
Hey, just before we get started, because every time we do this segment, there's a million questions, but I always want to give you the chance to give us some news. If you've got any new stuff to tell us about the cultivation world or what you're up to before we get into the questions.
Yeah, well, two pieces of news. I got some pretty sad news and some pretty great news. The sad news, we lost Michelle Rainey, a wonderful mm-hmm. activist from Canada, from the Vancouver area. And, you know, she was just great. And I got to spend some time with her. And have dinner at her and Jeff's house and everything, and they were just, you know, she was just amazing and very fearless and very much an opponent of the drug laws, and you know, she saw the hypocrisy and the great benefits of medicinal marijuana, and you know, we should all wear our medicinal shirts and stuff in memory of her, and I want to just spend, you know, send our love to Jeff Tech as well, her husband. And so that's the sad note. And on a better note, our friend Ganja John had his dialysis and received his kidney. And so far I've heard pretty good things about that. So I'm really happy for him on that note.
Yes, we actually have a Ganja John update here for you, Danny Danko. Also joining me here in the studio is Mrs. Radical, who just saw Ganja John. Tell us about Ganja John. You just visited your clinic.
Yeah, he just came in today. He got the staples out of his incision. He looks fantastic. And I would say that he looks better than he did before his dialysis.
Wow.
I think this is the last dialysis treatment. At least that's what he was told. So I'm crossing my fingers that that's true. Because that's just a real awful process to have to go through and have to live with. He looks fantastic. The kidney is working. Of course, it's going to need a little bit more time. But he looks great, and he feels good, and that's the important part.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to him, and just make sure that everything goes well and that his kidney is 100% functional.
Absolutely. And I got to get the Hello Kidney graphic on there. That's our little tribute to John. Hello Kidney. All right, let's get to the questions for Danny Danko here. By the way, our phone number is 971-533-7111. If someone could post that up in the chat room. If you want to call in live with Danny Danko here and get your question answered, that'll be cool too. But we'll take him from the chat room to start with. And our first question is an anonymous question. Just wants to know, can you describe how to properly size a carbon filter to your fan and room size?
Basically, filters are rated by the amount of cubic feet per minute that they're able to, the fan is rated by the amount of cubic feet per minute. So the fan and the filter have to they have to comply with each other. So basically you measure the square footage of your room or the cubic footage, and you want to be able to clear all the air in the room in less than 5 minutes, and hopefully even less than that. So, you know, if you have a fan that's rated like 300 cubic feet per minute or CFMs, that would clear a 350 cubic foot room in 1 minute. So, therefore, you know, a 1,000 square foot room would probably take 4 minutes or so, or, you know, a little under 4 minutes. So basically that, you know, and people at grow shops are always willing to help you with that. You just can't, you know, when you go in the shop, you can't mention marijuana or cannabis, but, if you have the square footage of your room or the cubic footage, they'll be happy to help you out with that to match the fan to the space. And it's pretty tough to overdo it too. I mean, you always want to err on the higher side. If you want the charcoal filter and the fan to really clean the air, and it's also pulling hot air out and allowing cool air in. So there's multiple reasons, but yeah, you just measure the room and act accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, judging by the storefront displays that I see at the grow shop down the street from me, there's a lot of indoor tomato growing going on in the state of Oregon.
Yeah. I mean, that's the funny thing about, you know, the shops is, you know, you can't actually mention what you're really doing, you know, and then you go over to Europe and they're selling, you know, grow DVDs and Jorge books and everything right there, and they sell their clones and everything right over the counter. It just seems like a much less hypocritical sort of policy, but we do what we got to do, you know, in the States. And hopefully things will change soon.
That's right. Someday, very soon. All right. Our next question asks, is there any benefit to adding UV, ultraviolet black lighting, to your grow to tap into that light spectrum?
I don't know that the benefits of that would outweigh the risks of it. I guess UV is a pretty somewhat dangerous light to be under for long periods of time or even short periods of time. So I wouldn't recommend it. I don't really haven't seen anyone really maximize their space using UV light. I think, you know, I'm kind of old school too. I go with high intensity discharge lighting, basically, metal halide or high pressure sodium lighting, at least for the time being. I know someone asked about those plasma bulbs, but they have a pretty short bulb life, and they really haven't been proven in any way that I've seen. So, you know, I stick to, you know, 1,000 watt, 600 watt, 400 watt, 250 watt, depending on the size of the space. But high-intensity discharge lighting is the best for indoor growing. And ultimately, you want to grow outside.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that leads me to a Prop 19 question. You know, everybody talks about Prop 19 and having 25 square foot of grow space personally. What sort of lighting setup would a guy need for that?
A 5x5 space is great for a 1,000-watt light. A 600 is adequate. A 1,000 is probably ideal for that amount of space indoors. You could have a 400 in a 5x5 space. It's gonna limit the amount that you're gonna ultimately harvest, but it's also gonna lower the amount of heat. So it's a basic question of if you can move the heat out, I would say go with 1,000. If it's the type of room where it's difficult to get air movement, you may want to go lower just for less heat.
Okay. A question coming in here from Riceratops wants to know, what's the best way to make cannabis oil or tincture?
Okay, yeah. You know, I just wrote an article about this in the medical marijuana magazine that we put out, the High Times Medical Marijuana News and Reviews. And so there's actually two methods in there. There's a method using alcohol where basically you soak your chosen dry bud or leaf in 180 proof Everclear or something 90% pure alcohol. And, you know, you can soak that overnight or even up to a month if possible. Strain out the solids, pour the liquids into a sealed dark-colored dropper top jar or bottle and store that in a cool, dry place. That's the alcohol method. There's also Subcool invented a glycerin method that's alcohol-free, where you use glycerin, and he's got the instructions for how to do that in that story as well, because some people, you know, whether they're recovering alcoholics or they just don't want that that kind of vibe with their bud. I have it here, actually. He says, finally grind the buds and then soak them for 2 months in glycerin that you can buy over-the-counter at health food stores before separating out the solids with 190 micron hash straining bag. So that's in order to get that glycerin tincture. And that's all free information online, too. If you go to hightimes.com and look up tinctures, you'll find info on that.
All right. We're speaking with Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor of High Times Magazine, also writing for the Medical Cannabis Magazine. Comes out quarterly. Check that out as well. Our question comes in from Gothic Prophet, who says, I have a CFL, compact fluorescent light, that never turns off in my house anyway. Would it be worth it to grow anything beyond practice plants with just a CFL?
You know, you can grow, I mean, a practice plant can easily turn into a harvestable plant or a great mother plant. So you can keep mother plants under a CFL. You can clone plants from the mother plant under a CFL, and you can even flower plants under it. You're not using a lot of electricity. It's not generating a lot of heat. I wouldn't expect to, you know, reap a huge harvest from it, but you know, practicing with it and actually producing with it is not only a possibility, but a probability as long as you've already got it going. So, you know.
Yeah, good point. Okay, question here asks, this is an anonymous question, how long do the high-pressure sodium bulbs last, or when do you change to a new high-pressure sodium?
You know, the recommendation usually is to change them every year, but I really don't find that necessary. I say about every 2 years, and a lot of times you can kind of notice when a light starts sort of burning out, especially if you've ever touched it with your fingers. I mean, that really is a bad thing to do. You should always handle the bulbs with gloves on, because the oils from your fingers can actually damage the coating on the bulb and reduce its life. But I'd say 2 years, wouldn't go much further than 2 years with the bulb, but I wouldn't necessarily go with their recommendation of changing it every year, because they just want you to buy more bulbs.
Yeah. Just like the oil changes for your car and everything else that's planned obsolescence. Right. Okay. Question here from KeyDet46. Is there something you can soak your seeds in to make them more viable?
I mean, I know sometimes people like to soak their seeds overnight in water, in just plain water or distilled water, to kind of loosen them up before they put them into soil. But it's really not necessary, and it's kind of an extra step. I know that some people do that, and it can't hurt.
Okay. Apparatus Beats was asking about the plasma grow lights, and you mentioned them in passing. He says they'd be great for growers just starting out because they don't need any air conditioning. And what do you think?
I'm just not convinced that they have the proper spectrum balance to grow indoors. And so along with the fact that their bulb life is short, I guess I'd have to look into it a little more because I don't really know. I mean, I know we've had articles about them in High Times, and I know Nico is really, my colleague Nico is more of a lighting expert than I am as far as that goes, the spectrums and the proper ways to achieve them. But plasmas, I haven't really seen a lot of promise with my own eyes with them, but I'll look into that as well for maybe I'll have an update for the next time we do the show.
Okay. Are the dried stalks and stems from your garden useful for anything?
You know, I honestly used to love just chewing on the thinner stalks that you pull out. I've seen some pretty innovative things where people have taken the main stalk and turned it into pipes. They've turned it into joint holders. They've turned them into, you know, all kinds of interesting and useful artistic things, or even walking sticks from big outdoor stalks. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those, the walking sticks. We got a guy here, Larry Kirk, who makes the hemp stalk with the little roach clip on the end of them, you know, and they're really long, so it makes it great for passing.
Yeah, it's great for passing, and it kind of cools the smoke along the way through the tube there as well. So those are fun.
I've even heard of people using them, boiling them in water and using it for teas and making teas out of sticks
absolutely.
And stems.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do that too. It's a fairly mild tea, but sometimes that's what people are looking for. And
right.
you can make a really nice mild tea, and that's how cannabis was used for medicine for thousands of years.
Right.
All right. We're speaking with Danny Danko, who's the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine. Danny, if they've got other questions that we can't get to here on the show, is there an email address at which they could ask?
I have my DannyDanko@HighTimes.com address. They can always submit them, and some of them will, if you submit them either to my email or to the website, they can end up in print because I'm always looking for questions for the column to answer every month. So a lot of times people can get their questions in print.
Oh, excellent. That'll be fantastic. All right. Wyatt the White Boy wants to know, if a person would let a plant veg and never go into flower, how big could it get?
Oh, excuse me. Can you say that question again?
If a person...
Sorry.
We're on the radio. Everybody behave. It's Friday at High Times Office. If a person would let a plant veg and never go into flower, how big could it get?
Ultimately, it'll just keep growing, and it can get, up to, I would say, 20 feet. I've seen flowering plants taller than that. I've never seen indoor, because you'd have to do that indoors, basically, because you control the light, and the plant won't flower.
Yeah.
But indoors, I've seen mother plants that have been, 15 years old that people take clones off of, and they're not massive, but they're definitely 6 to 8 feet tall and big bushy plants. I've never seen someone indoors take it to the 20 to 30 foot level, but I think that would be pretty difficult.
Yeah, be fun to try.
And unruly.
Yeah. Okay, last question here, Danny. Can you give us an update on Kyle Cushman's Veganics?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the issue we have out now is our December issue, Top 10 Strains of the Year, and our Global Harvest Report. And the next issue after that, that's our 420th issue, our January 2011. And that has a big article. I think it's about 10 pages, or 8 to 10 pages, on Kyle Cushman's Veganics, written by Kyle, with beautiful photos and a full description of how he grows plants veganically, which is to say beyond organic. There's no guanos used. There's no fish or bone meal or blood meal. It's just compost tea and liquid seaweed and things like that. And it's just amazing. It's some of the cleanest burning, best tasting herb that you'll ever smoke or vaporize. And we really wanted to get that information out there for people so that they can know, you know, all the advanced techniques to growing the best pot.
Yeah. And this is the 420th issue coming out for the January issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that'll be out in mid-November due to the quirks of magazine publishing. But yeah, that's our January 2011 issue. It's the 420th issue. So we added some pages and added some treatments to the mag and got a lot of the cannabis luminaries like Alan St. Pierre and Keith Straub to, you know, put their two cents in on what's going on lately and you know, how amazing it is to reach 420 issues of a magazine about marijuana.
Any magazine to reach 420 issues is quite a publishing feat, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it's taken 36 years to get there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Danny, thank you again for joining us here on our Cultivator's Corner. It's always on the fourth Fridays of the month. Check us out next month. We'll talk to Danny again. And thanks again for everything you're doing, man.
Oh, great. Thank you. I just wanted to mention one more thing.
Oh, yes.
Nico,
go ahead.
Nico and I are doing a grow seminar Saturday, October 30th in Warwick, Rhode Island. And it's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I can give out a coupon code if you want to check that out and order tickets. The coupon code is FREEDOM420 for $20 off admission to the Grow Clinic. And if you want more information, just go to hightimes.com/growclinic.
Awesome. Yeah. And follow Danny on Twitter, too, at Danny Danko. And I'm sure you can give updates that way, too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And my book should be out within a month or so. It's printing now, so we'll have copies of that hopefully by the next time I do the show.
Danny, I'd love to get a couple of those copies for my clinic.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks again, Danny, for joining us. Appreciate everything you're doing, man.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks, Mrs. Radical. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye, Danny.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol, and I quit drinking years ago. But until now, we all run the risk of arrest if we're caught with marijuana. Fortunately, that's about to change. The voters in California this November will have the opportunity to approve a proposal to legalize, regulate, and tax the responsible use of marijuana by adults. The nation's most populous state may soon be the first to reject prohibition, and other states are sure to follow. To learn how you can help, please contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, everybody, 50 after the hour, time for a little radical ranting. And yesterday on the new Southern California Public Broadcasting Station, this was on KPCC 89.3 FM, Southern California Public Radio. It was a call-in show. They were having a debate between James Rigdon, the field director of Yes on Prop 19, and Kim Rainey, the police chief for the city of Covina, California, the pro and con positions on on Prop 19. But it also allowed for call-ins, and during the show, there was a call-in from the head of Medican. Now, Medican is a large clinic operation with multiple outlets in California that writes out the permission slips that people get so that they can use medical marijuana. And I just wanted to give everyone a chance to hear the person from Medican talking about this. I'm going to pull up the audio here. This is the Medican owner calling in against Prop 19 in California.
Actually, this is Dr. Talleyrand, Jean Talleyrand. I represent 200,000 patients throughout the state of California. Our company's name is Medican, and we are not dispensers of marijuana. We are medical marijuana evaluators. We're doctors who talk to patients, real patients, who are suffering and need this medicine. And in my opinion, unfortunately, I have to agree with the chief and say no on Prop 19, but not for the same reasons. I think there's much debate that needs to happen, and I do have disagreements with many of the chiefs.
Well, okay, give us your top reason why you think Prop 19 is wrong.
It ignores our patients, basically. It's ignored our patients. We have a law regarding our patients, and this law that's trying to generate revenue confuses law enforcement, as you hear from Chief right now, and it confuses the issue of the real patients who are using it and needing it to reduce their pharmaceutical.
Well, so I don't understand confusing what the problem is. I mean, obviously, you have an economic interest in keeping the medical marijuana system as the one that's going, because that's how the docs who are part of your group are getting paid. So I don't know. What is the issue of confusion? How does that mean that patients wouldn't have access to marijuana?
Well, actually, our company's interests are to provide integrative and holistic medicine. So we do more than just provide medical marijuana evaluations. But what the problem is with the taxing marijuana is that our sick patients now have an additional load to bear. They now will be funding California's economic collapse.
Well, except that the retail price is supposed to go down because of the easier availability, more people can grow it. So the product itself is supposed to get cheaper. Yes, there'll be taxes on it, but wouldn't it make the overall cost less expensive for your patients?
Well, I think there was an earlier point where it said that the use would not go down. The use would be about the same. If the use is about the same, I don't see where the availability and the price would go down. The way the proposition is set up, it would let the counties decide who would have the right to grow marijuana in their county. And most counties in California would not want to do this. And so it would leave few counties developing grows for most of the state. It would make few people wealthy.
But not bring down the price. Okay, thank you very much, Jean. Appreciate your call.
There's a crisis in California.
Actually, this is Dr. Talleyrand, Jean Talleyrand. I represent 200,000 patients throughout the state of California. Our company's name is Medican, and we are not dispensers of marijuana. We are medical marijuana evaluators.
Clinics like Medican that write permission slips to use marijuana could join California's unemployed on November 2nd. California's Prop 19 would mean you could grow, possess, share, and even buy cannabis to treat your ailments without medical permission slips. Do you really think you can manage your own herbal health care without a $150 doctor's note? If you vote yes on 19, it means no tickets, no permission slips, and no Medican. You wouldn't want that, would you?
Yeah, that's Medican and our new PSA, because you know what? I'm not forgetting, people. All of you out there that are making money on marijuana and using that money and that influence and that position to campaign to keep me a criminal, I got a long memory, and we will be posting Medican and Lynette Davies and the Unity Collective and Dragonfly De La Luz and J. Craig Canada. I'm keeping track of all of you because it is my goal to make sure none of you make any money from marijuana after Prop 19 passes. There needs to be a price for being a traitor. They want to call this a war on drugs? Then the war is against them, the prohibitionists, the one that want to keep throwing us in jail. And if you're on our side, you cannot be stabbing us in the back by trying to get young and naive voters to vote against everyone's best self-interests here. And furthermore, the arguments that the man made with regard to marijuana, the Medican guy, are just absurd on their face. He says that the demand would stay the same, but the supply would increase, so the price wouldn't go down. A complete fallacy, a complete misunderstanding of the laws of supply and demand. If there's going to be more marijuana and more people growing marijuana and the same people being supplied the marijuana, the prices have to come down. But that's not what he's really afraid of. He is afraid of losing his little meal ticket of $150 to get a permission slip. And this is a different situation than what we see in other medical marijuana states. We've got states in Oregon, Washington, all over the country that where there's a serious medical records review, where the conditions to be able to qualify for medical marijuana are very strict. And so you can justify paying someone their time to have to go through medical records and making sure they get the copies and the faxes and they're complying with the law and they're seeing the doctor for the recommended amount of time. But that's not the situation in California. I called Medican before we came on the air of the show today and I asked them, hey, I'm from Portland, Oregon, but I'm beginning to be moving down to Northern California. I just need to know what kind of records do I need to bring, what kind of records, and what's it going to cost me. And she says, well, you're just going to need your California identification and your proof of residency. That's it. Basically, California residency, oh, and $150. See, because the condition I would be qualifying for is overloaded wallet syndrome. Now, I don't have a problem with people getting medical marijuana cards, Prop 215 recommendations in California. You know, more power to you. And if you want to say it's for anxiety or for drowsiness or, you know, constipation, whatever you want to claim, I'm cool with that because I think everybody should be able to use marijuana. And if you want to pay $150 for that permission slip, that's cool. But don't vote against me not having to have a permission slip. And of course, I always have to issue the standard disclaimer here that we are not talking about the severely sick and disabled people who need medical marijuana to live. Again, that is an issue that is different in the other 13 medical states as compared to California. In California, as we all know, it is very easy to get a medical marijuana card. So what we're essentially talking about here is maintaining businesses and doctors to act as gatekeepers to give us our permission slips so that we can use the marijuana that should just be our right. If we've got the right to use the marijuana, we do not need to have the permission slip. So businesses like Medican and the Unity Collective and people that write articles for magazines traveling the world smoking the best ganja and writing about it, they need to be out of a job after November 2nd. They need to pay the price for their treachery, for going against the movement of legalization that we have all been fighting for over 40 years. 20 million Americans have been arrested on marijuana laws, and the first best step we can take right now to end that is passing Prop 19. Is Prop 19 perfect? No. No bill is perfect. No law is perfect. When you write these things, you can't write them for us. We're going to vote for them. You have to write them for the soccer moms. You have to write them for the religious conservatives. You've got to write them for the old folks that are naturally going to be opposed to granting us our rights. Change comes incrementally in this country, and I'm sorry that breaks some people's hearts, but it is the truth. Vote yes on Prop 19, and remember the people that told you to vote no and hold them accountable. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for the Radical Rant and for Normal Show Live. We are on every weekday, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time live, and at 2 o'clock Pacific live with Toker Talk Radio. Your call-ins, your opinions. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.
it goes down.